Hi, and on behalf of Penrith Methodist Church, welcome to today's worship. As we begin our time of worship, let's take a moment to still ourselves, to remember that we're intentionally setting aside this time to bring ourselves before God, to declare before God what He means to us and what He's done for us, and to be equipped by God for going forward from this time together. Take some time to remember the church family that you're part of. Remember some of the faces that you would ordinarily sit alongside as you worship together. Spirit of God is at work in you now and at work in the lives of those people that we miss. What a great God we have. This morning is the fifth week in Lent, and we've been taking part together in a reflection each week. This week you're going to need a cross if you'd like to join in with the action aspect of this reflection. As I pray this through, then the words in bold will come up on the screens, and if you'd like to pray this together with us, then that would be the opening act of our time of worship. And so we pray together. As we journey through this season of Lent, I choose to embrace this wilderness. I open myself up to the waiting and lay down all my scattered thoughts. I hold my impatience, my desire for speedy resolutions. I yield to the unanswered questions and my unquenched thirst. I carry the hope of the near, but not yet. I will wait for you, Lord, and trust in your unfailing love. In the silence of this time, keep me and hold me in the expectation of your deliverance. And so take your cross and place it on a table close to you. Today I place a cross to remind me that death comes before resurrection. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Amen. And now let's join together in singing our opening hymn, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
Praise to the
Let's pray together. During this time of prayer, I'm going to give you a few simple prompts in order to help you focus. But there'll be periods of silence for you to, allow yourself to be open, to speak to God and to listen to God. As we look over this past week and look towards the week to come. So let's pray. Let's start by noticing the big picture of the past week. In a snapshot, how has this week been for you? Try to remember what you can be thankful for. And now remember the people that you've met, the places you've been, the things you have done. Invite the Spirit to bring things to mind. Let's confess the times this week where we've not lived after the example of Jesus. And finally, looking ahead to the week to come, what are you looking forward to? Are you concerned about something? What is God inviting you to do this week? And now let's finish by sharing together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born. In the vapor of your breath, the planets fall. If the stars are made to worship, so will I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signifier of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, syllable empty or void. Once you have spoken, nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, if the stars were made to worship, so will I. If the mountains bow in reverence, so will I. If the oceans really are grateful, so will I. For if everything exists, if you hide, so will I. If the wind goes darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion faces appear. But you lost your life, so I could find it here. If you left your grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part in time in a work of art for love. You gladly chose to rest, and so will I. I can see in your heart a billion different ways. Every precious one, a child who died today. The one who never leaves the one behind.
Today's reading is taken from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 23, the supremacy of the Son of God. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behaviour. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Amen.
Around 2 months ago, I was approached by Carlisle Cathedral and asked if I would go and speak on the theme of Tread Gently, one of the little statements that are part of the refreshed vision for the next 5 years for the churches across Cumbria. I thought, yeah, great. I'd been on a discussion group where we were thinking about how we can make implications. My new role within the diocese, well, not new anymore, almost a year old role in the diocese, is obviously using the outdoors to encourage people to explore their faith and spirituality. And I thought to myself, yeah, that'd be great. What a good opportunity to go and share some of my thoughts in a slightly different setting. And so, the months passed, and then last week I went along to Carlisle Cathedral where I was to deliver my talk. And it was all going very well. I went into the cathedral and was welcomed, taken up to the front where you sit down in a chair up sort of near the altar. And yeah, it was about 10 minutes before the service was to start. I was handed a order of service. And I started to flick through it to see where I was meant to be doing the sermon. And saw the readings, then there was a hymn, then there was the gospel reading. And then it was me, and it said, sermon today, Mr. Paul Rose, speaking on Tread Gently. Paul Rose is a broadcaster and environmentalist. And I suddenly realised that they thought they'd invited the guy that appears on the TV, the guy that's recently done a series based on the Lake District, is some sort of an amazing polar explorer and diver and this and that and the other, and that's who they thought they were getting that morning. I was like, oh my word, this could get really embarrassing. So it was too late to say anything to anybody about it, and so I had to open by apologising for not being him, but that I'd try my best. I guess at least when you saw Paul Rose on the service sheet today, you probably weren't under quite the same misconception as a few people there were. Either way, it seemed to have gone well, and so you get to hear some of the thoughts as well. Just in a slightly different setting, because today I'm in some woods near Bow Scar, just outside of Penrith, and it's lovely to be here. In fact, talking though to my phone in the woods and recording it as a sermon is just still a really weird experience. It's so very different to actually talking to a live audience. And so if at some point I start mumbling and go off track, then I'm just very sorry. Okay, so speaking on this idea then of tread gently. I am aware that I'm not a conservationist or an environmentalist or someone with any training in that arena. And so when I was preparing for the cathedral service, I was like, I wonder what I can actually bring. What is it that I have that I can add to this conversation? And I thought to myself, well, actually, what and who I am is someone that loves the outdoors, someone that ministers in the outdoors, an evangelist and a practical theologian. And I thought, surely amongst that sort of bunch of, particular sort of gifts and skills, I must be able to come up with something. And I'm very struck that there's either a love it or hate it thing going on at the moment with environmental sustainability. Greta Thunberg, when I say that name, then there'll be some people who are already like, oh, that girl, I wish she'd shut up. And there'll be some that are like, ah, brilliant, yeah, somebody fighting for environmental justice. And I think, as is typically the trend amongst society at the moment, we've managed to end up a little bit polarised. And so I didn't want to approach the whole topic of treading gently from an environmentalist and conservationist standpoint. Because actually, you know, I don't need to give you more suggestions as to how you might lead a life with a lower carbon footprint, because actually that information's out there already and everybody has heard a lot of it already. And if you haven't heard quite enough yet, then just go on the internet. There is such vast amounts of knowledge and experience shared from people far wiser in those things than me. So I thought to myself, actually, I wonder if a different approach is to consider how we relate to the environment. Rather than about setting a bunch of do's and don'ts about how to behave, I wonder if simply about how we are with the environment, with the natural world, with the rest of creation. And thankfully, within the church, then over the past few decades, the tone has been changing, and yet still not everybody is convinced. There's still some people that very much believe that the natural world is there for human consumption. It's there to serve us because we're the greatest things on this planet, and it's there to make my life better. That's people that also understand the nature of God about, and the fact that creation came from God. There's that belief that it's there to serve us. And I haven't thought that for a long time. I guess I've never consciously actually thought that. I've always been aware of creation as being something wonderful, something life-enhancing. And yet, even without being as blatant as saying, yeah, nature's just there for me, it's there for me to do what I want with, I know that over the years I've very much fallen into the trap of approaching it as some sort of product that I can use. That yes, I'm going to care for it because I believe that God cares for all things and I'm an ambassador of God and therefore I'm going to care for it too. I wonder if there's a slightly different way of looking at it. I wonder if creation isn't simply some out there product that is there for my benefit and for me to care for, but rather the sort of an interdependence, a mutuality, a familial link. I guess another clue is in the reading that we had this morning from Gareth, the reading from Colossians. It's the story of all things being reconciled to God through Christ. For me, the whole topic of reconciliation is kind of a key feature of the gospel. Again, I wonder if sometimes we lose sight of that. We think that actually it's about me being reconciled to God so that I'm okay with God, so that when I die, I'll go to heaven, so that as I live, I'll be blessed by God. I think reconciliation changes the gospel message from a me and God, from a I message to an us message. If I'm to take seriously the idea that God is reconciled to all things, all of creation, including the natural world as well as humanity, if all things have been reconciled to God, then actually as an ambassador of God, as someone that wants to be reconciled to God myself, I too need also to be reconciled to all things. Reconciliation raises other questions in me as well, because reconciliation feels as though it's part of a process. It's a process maybe of forgiveness, reconciliation and repentance. In the reading then we hear that God has reconciled all things to himself through Christ, as in it's a done thing. In other passages we read that we are forgiven, our sins have been washed away. Because even when we were enemies, God reached out to us and reconciled us to himself. So two parts of that have already been done, but it leaves the repentance. And the way I like to think of the forgiveness, reconciliation, repentance, sort of cluster of associated things, is that I wonder if forgiveness and reconciliation are getting rid of the rubbish and opening the door. And then repentance is us choosing to step through. I think that's where most of us struggle in some way. The idea of putting down the idea that actually I want to be God and allowing God to be God is actually really difficult for all of us. And yet if the natural world has had to go through a similar process, the removal of the blockage of sin, the reconciliation, the door has been opened to creation. I'm not sure that creation, the natural world, has the same baggage with repentance that we do. I wonder if actually nature, just in its very being, couldn't wait to be reconciled with God, couldn't wait to go through that door. And what is through the door? I think it's atonement, at oneness. I think it's union with God. I wonder if creation is actually as one with God. And that doesn't mean I think that nature is God and nature needs worship. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that I wonder if nature is now an ambassador of God, a representative of God here on earth. Something physical that we can encounter, something that if we're open would even minister to us. If God has been reconciled to these trees, this bracken, the fields that are just ahead of me over there, if God has been reconciled to all those things and they haven't resisted and they are at one with God, then the Spirit must also flow through them. just imagine that actually the Spirit is flowing through the natural world around me. And for me, I mentioned about this idea of being a practical theologian. I have conversations with people that have no particular experience of church, and yet they love being in the outdoors, and find that we share some quite familiar language as one another. When people are out in the fells, then they have an experience of peace. They have an experience of being part of something bigger. They are brought down to earth. They have their perspective changed. They notice a sense of belonging. Now, these are all comments that I could have heard at the back of a prayer ministry meeting at Soul Survivor or at New Wine. Oh yeah, when I was being prayed for, or as I worshipped, I was aware that I was part of something bigger. I had a great sense of peace. It's language that's all familiar. And with an understanding that actually the natural world can minister the Holy Spirit to us as an ambassador of God, then it's suddenly less of a surprise to me. And yet I'm still stuck being the human that wants to understand things, that wants to control things, that wants to have their own way. I wonder if my understanding of the natural world changes to see it as a minister, to see the natural world as being reconciled to God, an ambassador of God. If I see the natural world as not less than me, but just different to me. Brothers and sisters from the same Father, the same Creator God. We have the same origins. And yes, humanity has got a particular role to play in the life of the earth, but then maybe so has the natural world. I wonder if actually, if I treat the natural world simply as a resource, as a product, as something that's there for me to consume for my benefit, and don't seek to be reconciled with it, and don't seek to open myself and connect with it, I wonder if actually I'm missing out on something of the gospel. There's another passage in Romans 8 that talks about the natural world groaning in anticipation of humanity coming to terms with the fact that it's been invited into God's family. And that groaning later in the passage gets likened to the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. So once again, my mind gets drawn towards a charismatic prayer meeting where, yeah, we sometimes hear all kinds of odd things going on as the first fruits of the Spirit, as people encounter the love of God, as people are changed and healed by encounters with the Holy Spirit. I wonder if that groaning of creation is first fruits of the Holy Spirit. I wonder if, yeah, creation sat waiting for us to join in. I like it that it's possibly gone ahead of us, that it's almost preparing the way. And so how is it then that we change our relationship with the natural world? Well, I guess there's something about relating to people that requires openness, vulnerability, love. I wonder if actually we can share these with the natural world. How is it that we can be open to the natural world? For me, then, one of the best ways I find of being open to the natural world is just raising my sense of anticipation and expectation when I go out into nature. It changes me from waiting for the top of the hill so I can go, oh yeah, made it, to actually every footstep I take can be a potential encounter with God. And part of preparing for that is simply being thankful. Maybe sometimes I even use like a little mantra of open, open, as I walk along. It somehow reminds me to be taking in the world around me. And what is it that I'm hoping to experience there? I don't know. Awe, wonder, space, peace. Also a sense of being part of something greater. I guess all of those things I encounter in the natural world. And I think particularly after these series of lockdowns, more and more people are finding the same thing. Another interesting thing that I found recently was a course on nature connectedness. And I actually subscribed to it. It's a course being run by Derby University. And so now I'm studying nature connectedness. This isn't from a spiritual discipline. It's not from a religious discipline. This is environmentalists. This is people that are concerned about the well-being of other humans. There seems to be something in the language of the world around us that is recognizing the value of connecting with nature. I've tried to relate it this morning to the idea that maybe the natural world is an ambassador for God, that it's been reconciled with God and now bears the Holy Spirit and is ready and willing to pour it out on us. All I can do is to, raise that as a question. I can invite you to go and see if you can maybe encounter it yourself. And that's the great thing about it, is that it's something experiential. You don't just, well, you could just sit there and listen to it, but then you would have probably just missed the point. My invitation in terms of being reconciled to God and reconciled to nature is that you need to go out there and do it. And so go and try and be open to the natural world. And it's going to be different to relating to a person, because it's not going to have a conversation back with you in the way that we used to. There's not even something particularly conscious at all about most of the natural world that we engage with. I don't think there's anything conscious about a mountain. And yet that mountain is fulfilling its role on earth and bears the presence of God. And so somehow observing that mountain as something that is worthy of honour, that is inviting me to be open in order to receive from it. Yeah, a different way of being with nature. I'd invite you to go and have a play with it. But for now, that's enough.
Let us pray. How shall we praise you, Lord our God, when we are locked down? How shall we praise you? When those desperately in need of money and work cannot even wait in the marketplace, when we have to circle round people in the streets and to queue for shops maintaining safe distance, when we cannot meet our parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren, or other family members and friends of whom we so dearly love, when we cannot touch them in their flesh and blood, to know they are truly alive, O Lord, how shall we praise you? Creator God, we look to your creation. We acknowledge your handiwork in all that you have made. Trees and rivers, mountains and valleys, soaring birds and scuttling creatures, all are held under your care. May we grow in our love and appreciation for your fabulous variety around us, and may our awe and wonder draw us closer to the natural world and through it to you. God of life, we praise you for the beauty of creation, its richness and variety. Yet through greed and ignorance, we scar your world with plastic waste and throw so much away. Make us more like Jesus, treading gently on our common home, and breathe your Spirit on us, that we may care more deeply for your earth. Please give each one of us the desire and the meanings to put things right, no longer trusting in ourselves, but in your grace and wisdom alone. Let us lift up to you, O God, those who have been denied access to the fruits and waters of this earth you have gifted us. Let us find a way to share all your riches among all nations equally with generosity and compassion. In particular, we think of those in Yemen and North Africa, and pray for all those living in poverty and famine, that they may be filled with a peace so incomprehensible and a strength so incomparable. May your attention be drawn to these individuals and communities, that you will grant them relief from pain, worry, and stress.
Now, looking to our own country, in times such as now, we see ever clearer the need for safety within our streets and our community. We come to you, Lord Almighty, and ask you to provide those who live in constant fear and anxiety to be set free from that which binds them. We lift up to you all women at this time, that they may be assured they are held safe within your protection. Psalm 91, verses 4 to 5 reads, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day." Let each one of us walk with confidence and a conscience that you too are walking before, behind, and beside us at all times. Let us now pray for those who are sick and those who suffer, for all in the nursing homes and hospices of our parish, and for those who are housebound. We remember all who are sick and bring before you now those whom we know personally. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. In Jesus' name, we offer you all of these prayers. Amen.
Worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. O God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. O Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. O God, you have done great things. You'll be faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. You will do great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Above it all, hallelujah, God, unshakable, hallelujah, you have done great things, have done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave, you free every captive and break every chain. O God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. God, you do great things. Oh God, you do great things.
Blessing from John O'Donohue to finish. May the touch of your skin register the beauty of the otherness that surrounds you. May your listening be attuned to the deeper silence where sound is honed to bring distance home. May the fragrance of a breathing meadow refresh your heart and remind you you are a child of the earth. And when you partake of food and drink, may your taste quicken to the gift and sweetness that flows from the earth. May your inner eye see through the surfaces and glean the real presence of everything that meets you. May your soul beautify the desires of your eyes, that you might glimpse the infinity that hides in the simple sights that seem worn to your usual eyes. God bless.